Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the second day, lamed bechodesh Nisan, or Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Parashas Tazria Metzora, Tafshin Pei Aleph 5781. Monday, 12 April 2021, you're listening to Phantom Nation coming to you from Israel, where yours truly is more afraid of America's domestic enemies than Israel's hateful foreign enemies. In this edition, we will express fear for the United States that at this very moment is under attack by domestic, not foreign, enemies. The current Democratic Party is no longer the Democratic Party, but bent on turning the U.S. into a one-party state. Among them, these people, is any love of country, mutual respect for the opposition as fellow Americans. And in truth, today the Democratic Party is governed behind the scenes, as it was in the years 2009, 2016, by an anti-American, anti-Semitic black racist who orders his zombie android puppet Joe Biden to flood the country with people with the same skin color as Obama has. It's a truth the woke cannot face, that black people are as capable of racism as white people, and that is who Louis Farrakhan is, who his former member of the Black Muslims, Jeremiah Wright, is, and no less Wright's parishioner of 20 years, Barack Hussein Obama. Make no mistake, Obama is an enemy of the United States, at one with the worst of the woke and their lies of systemic racism. And as a Muslim, he is an anti-Jew, as we saw throughout his time in the Oval Office. But today, he's running the show behind the scenes because Biden is simultaneously, as always, a below-average mind, and he's senile. People, pundits keep criticizing him for his policies when so far every one of them is nothing but reversing Trump policies, and that is thanks to Obama behind the scenes. Obama's policy, his policies, were those of the enemies of the United States, who see the United States a force for evil in the world. And as a Muslim, he hates America for supporting Israel, as no other country does. It is a force for evil, evidenced by its racism and support for the Jews, whom the Quran preaches are Islam's worst enemies. We will also consider in this edition the Israeli defect of seeing the enemy here as Arabs and as Palestinians, when their true ideology and identity is neither pan-Arab, which never really existed, and neither is it Palestinian national. These people are Muslims, and that's the enemy.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom le-Yehudim, shalom le-Bnei Noach, shalom le-Goyim. It's the second day, Lamed Gimel b'Chodesh Nisan, or Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Parashas Tazria Metzora, Tafshin Pei Aleph 5781, Monday, 12 April 2021. You're listening to the Phantom Nation coming to you from Israel, watching from afar, Uncle Sam in serious trouble. Here, the good news was the government telling the United Nations invented International Criminal Court to get lost with its desire to investigate us for war crimes, not the Chinese in Tibet, not the Russians in Crimea and Ukraine, not the Syrian regime massacring its own people. The UN, the organization begun with such optimism, is a soul sister operation today to the Tower of Babel, all these nations working together for the betterment of not only their own people, but the whole planet, you see, and as such, the goyim of the world spend a plurality of their time in that organization bashing the world's only tiny Jewish state. The ICC, some have argued, was created by the UN 2 decades ago with Israel specifically in mind as another tool to use to abuse the Jews. So the Israeli government was right to tell the ICC, you have no right to judge us. Also good news here was the turning of the mandate over to Netanyahu by the president for the next month. That will lower the volume, I think, in the media in the matter of coalition building in this ridiculous system. And I am in awe of Israel's basically post-religious politicians' paralysis. Not one of them suggesting a better system. No one thinking outside the box on this issue. The bad news from here is watching Joe Biden reverse, cancel almost every pro-Israel policy of Donald Trump. Basically, in this regard, yanking the helm of the ship of state hard to port back where it was pre-Trump times, and that is because, in effect, there is no Joe Biden administration. This is Obama behind the scenes in his third term in office. Obama is, in common speech today, an anti-Semite, and he is instructing Biden on what to do in order to destroy Trump's decisions regarding Israel, and not only Israel, other issues as well. In truth, I'm less worried about Obama's power to harm Israel now that he is a Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, but with real power. Far more troubling, I dare say frightening, is what this Muslim jihadi is doing to America with the open border, allowing enemy agents and potential saboteurs, not to say common criminals, rapists, white slavers, and lots of diseased people into the country. Whatever is in the mind of Biden slash Obama, whatever their motivation, the result is clear. It's nothing less than treason that deserves capital punishment. The United States Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden should be court-martialed and stood before a firing squad. He's flooding the country with diseased people from coast to coast who most surely will infect some Americans who will die. He's letting in enemy spies. He deserves to be shot, not only he, but Obama, who in 2008 campaigned on the promise that he was going to fundamentally change America, and that was because Obama fundamentally does not like America. And for pretty much the same reason, neither does Ilhan Omar. For America's one-sided support of the evil Jews in Philistine. Obama does not care that many Americans may become infected by these plague-carrying people. What matters to him is their skin color, which is very close to his, because Obama, like Jeremiah Wright, who used to be a black Muslim under Farrakhan and gave Farrakhan an award in his church, all three of these are black racists. That's a concept buried by the woke. White people do not have a monopoly on race hatred. Black people can also be racists. And that is the Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama type. Obama wants to flood the U.S. with non-Caucasian people, and of course wants all of them eventually to either convert to Islam or at least submit to domination by Islamic leaders, as Sharia law calls for. Black racism is all about Farrakhan and his friends. They are racists. No less than Adolf Hitler when it comes to the Jews. Hatred of Jews by Nazis is the same as hatred of Jews by Louis Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright, and presumably his parishioner for 20 years, who listened to Wright's sermons of hatred. Now Obama is back in control, doing everything he can to destroy America, in cahoots with the degenerate and corrupt offspring of once virtuous white European Christians who created America, like the Clintons, like James Comey, William Barr, John Brennan, criminals all. How corrupt the American government became in the FBI, in the Department of Justice, the CIA, the courts, the Supreme Court of all courts, likewise corrupt. The degeneration of America's Liberal Party, the Democrats, into a cesspool of criminality was exposed in its slander of Trump as a Russian agent. The Democratic National Committee paid for Russian collusion, intended to smear Trump as the colluder. In that moment, the DNC became a criminal and even a treasonous enterprise. For 3 years, at the cost of tens of millions of dollars and man-hours, the country was paralyzed by this smear. And so it makes perfect sense that the same villainy was at work on November 3rd. these people will stop at nothing. The swing states illegally mailed out absentee ballots to millions of people, which is like filling up your car's gas tank with sewage. It clogs the system. This was a crime against the United States Constitution. The FBI under James Comey did nothing when it became known that Hillary Clinton used an unsecured server and deleted 33,000 emails, had her device smashed with a hammer. Comey's FBI lied to the FISA court in order to spy on the Trump campaign. In this, they were no different than the Russians and the Chinese, who are forever trying to spy inside America. The FBI acted like a foreign enemy in this. America at this very moment is being invaded by enemy aliens who spread disease. They're coming from all countries now, not just South America and Middle America. It's an invasion of the country that Biden is responsible for, under the direction of Obama. Joe Biden never had an original idea in his life. This is all Obama's doing. Biden was a serial plagiarist precisely because he's incapable of composing a coherent essay on anything. He may have suffered as a boy from some kind of learning disorder. He was a plagiarist because he has no thoughts of his own. His political career has been sniffing the air for what people want to hear. He has no known accomplishment in politics. He went into politics because he knew he could never make it in the private sector practicing law. He was never an intellectual, to put it mildly. His stock and trade was his killer smile and self-confidence. And it's no accident that Biden produced a son like Hunter, a chip off the old corrupt block. Hunter seems to be a walking disaster of the worst of the 1960s culture, too much sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What a train wreck of a man Joe Biden raised, which speaks volumes about Joe Biden himself, getting payoffs from his son's influence peddling. And now, in addition to his low IQ, Joe is senile. He was not that very bright before the morbidity, and now he is non compos mentis and doing what Obama tells him to do. And according to Tucker Carlson, Susan Rice, too. Rice, the liar to Congress and the country, covering up the fiasco in Benghazi that Hillary was responsible for, that psychologically transgender woman who thinks she has the right stuff to command men in battle. America is in the hands of enemies of America. Not foreign enemies, but domestic. Make no mistake, Barack Obama is an enemy of America, which makes perfect sense given the facts of his biography. His biological father was a Muslim. His stepfather was a Muslim. He bears the name of the second martyr in Islam, Hussein ibn Ali. He attended government schools in Indonesia, which Muslim prayer is part of the daily ritual. Obama himself told the Muslims in Cairo, in the Al-Azha Cemetery for terrorist preachers, he thought the call to prayer from the minaret is the most beautiful sound, and since Islam is a form of anti-Semitism, Obama is religiously hostile to Israel and to America for being Israel's mainstay. He's also influenced by the black editor of a communist newspaper, communism being like Islam, totalitarian and anti-Semitic, a theory of society and economics produced by a Jew-hating Jew. Obama is back at the helm of the U.S. ship of state, and he will continue to, I believe, drive it onto the rocks.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Shalom, I'm Leah Aharoni. Join me on my show, News from the Torah. Each Sunday, we'll use the weekly Torah portion as a prism for understanding the news today. Listen to News from the Torah to gain clarity about the times we're living in and to understand your own spiritual path in the process. News from the Torah, every Sunday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So, in a way, to be fair to Obama and Biden, America, it can be argued, deserves Obama and Biden. A democracy, it is said, gets the leaders it deserves, and for sure, the rot, the degeneration of American culture goes far beyond the corrupt government in Washington, which still has barriers around the Capitol on orders of the hystericals who shrieked insurrection about January 6th, and I think I know why. Why they shrieked insurrection and erected barriers and called in the National Guard. The famous Russian theorist of the art of acting, Konstantin Stanislavski, said acting is a genuine response to an artificial stimulus. The emotion on display must be authentic, even if the provocation or trigger is manufactured. And those who cried insurrection were expressing their genuine fear of an insurrection, not because they had information that one was brewing, but because they all know the truth, that they did steal the election and fear angry Americans coming to get them. Likewise, these days, their determination to castrate the Second Amendment and confiscate guns because they continue to fear an insurrection, because they continue to know, if only on a subconscious level, that they did steal the election and an uprising against them would be justified. The rot goes beyond all the corrupt agencies and departments in Washington as well. The universities, the best of them, begun as seminaries for the clergy, have become Orwellian nightmares of political correctness, and there is a menacing anti-Semitism on these campuses now, never known in history before. The rot is also on display in the dictatorship of blue state governors, who in the plague shut down churches but allowed casinos to remain open. This is a war against religion. The assault against traditional values and ethics is everywhere, in particular the lunacy that has polluted the mind when it comes to sexual morality and the fantasy of gender and transgender and the people of the same sex marrying one another, the acting out in public of what was once private fantasy life. Journalism, too, is on the rocks. Today's journalists have no sense of the traditional ethics of a professional journalist. Every newspaper is entitled to its preferred political slant, but when a journalist comes upon a fact that clashes with his own preferences, the fact must prevail. When Twitter's evil boss Jack Dorsey blocked the New York Post expose about Hunter Biden's laptop, that was in itself a major story that should have been exposed by the New York Times, by CBS, the Washington Post, but was not. In this, they all collaborated with Twitter in suppressing information the electorate had a right to know and would be interested in. The absence of any loyalty to the truth is now normal in the MSM. It's all the spiritual culture of Hillary Clinton, who has no fidelity to fact. Neither does Joe Biden. He's lying all the time. Anything goes in politics, according to these people, including lying. There's no patriotism among them. Popular entertainment, likewise, is in the toilet. Script writers for cable movies seem incapable of writing a line of dialogue without the F-bomb in some form. And it's significant that this word connotes anger and aggression, bound up with the act of procreation. Since the 1970s, when the degenerate Supreme Court blessed abortion, more than 60 million humans in the making have been exterminated in wombs. And who knows the statistics for this crime in France, Germany, England, Holland, Italy? They're all not having enough children to reproduce. They're committing national suicide. America has been stricken as well with the fentanyl plague produced in China and smuggled in from Mexico. The U.S. in its relationship to China has been stricken with its own greed. All those major corporations like Apple and the NBA and Disney, everybody else that manufactures there, the communists in Beijing know that the Achilles heel of the capitalists can be their excessive greed. And with their millions, the Chinese have bought off men like Joe Biden and other multimillionaires at the expense of jobless Americans. The U.S.-China relationship, since the days of the degenerate President Clinton, has been corrupt. King Billy the Kinky, who paid numerous visits to Jeffrey Epstein's island of raping young girls. Today, America has a vice president who egged on the vandals last summer in trying to burn down a federal courthouse. Those who did billions of dollars in damage, destroying small businesses, people's livelihoods. She raised money for bail for them and said the riots should continue. This is America today, being invaded at this very moment by enemy spies, saboteurs, criminals, drug peddlers, sex maniacs, with the country paralyzed, unable to do anything about it. What the Democrats are pushing for, or toward, is an insurrection. Imagine this scenario. The Americans most immediately affected by the invasion are those in the border communities along the Rio Grande, where I can see them pushing the governors of their states to mobilize their National Guard to defend the border and stop the invasion. In law, that is the federal government's role, and the démarche could lead to Obama, that is Biden, ordering troops in the U.S. Army to remove the National Guard. And then we might witness a mass mutiny of American soldiers refusing to do that. The border state governors might even solicit financial help from red states in order to restart building the border wall without Biden. I mean, something has to be done to end Obama's war against America, fueled by his racist hatred of Jews and whites. The situation is critical. Daily infected people are being spread around the country. This is a crisis situation. The government is only refusing to deal with it actively and even abetting it. It is a treasonous government in that regard. The Democrats are planning to pack the Supreme Court as well, not to improve it, but politicize it in their favor. Their H.R. 1 plan is to deprive the states of running their own elections. The Constitution was written consciously and deliberately to create a government the framers understood was necessary to have, but it was their job to limit its powers as well as give them powers as free men and women. They wanted a central government with limited powers over individual lives, starting with religion. Historians dispute the intentionality of making the First Amendment about religious liberty, but I reject that. Religious liberty was what propelled so many adventurers to come to the New World. Protestants fleeing Catholics, Catholics fleeing Protestants. Protestant Puritans fleeing a Protestant Church of England rule. And now the woke are dictating to parochial religious schools, Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish, that they must teach their pupils to respect transgender boys and girls and use the correct pronoun for each. It's something that one cannot know on sight. Public authorities want all schools, private and public, to teach respect for deviant sexual behavior, a.k.a. the behavior of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. Make no mistake, America is under attack from within, supported and encouraged by the Chinese enemy from outside the country. Under attack is the traditional American way of life. The Democrats today have no patriotism. They have no desire to perpetuate American culture, which included civilized collegiality in Congress between the two principal parties. What has taken place is the installation of the rotten spirit of Hillary Clinton. She, who was ruined by the 1960s in general, and Saul Alinsky in particular, for her, the enemy in politics, can be smeared with lies. All opponents are to be portrayed as morally defective, deplorable people. Trump derangement syndrome is not only lunacy about him, but all of his millions of supporters. And one reason for this pose is the emptiness of the modern liberal, who is incapable of refuting the policies of the opposition because liberalism has reached the end of the line. All they can do is accuse political opponents of being racists, no matter the context, no matter the truth. For example, Donald Trump has a racist white supremacist, a Nazi supporter in Charlottesville, Virginia. What the U.S. is truly in need of is a reactionary movement in the best sense, striving to restore pre-1960s culture, minus, of course, the ugly truly systemic racism of segregation in the South. The culture has been decaying outside of that since then, and it produced in the 1990s a president as sleazy as Bill Clinton and a wife accomplice in serial rape, the first lady of the land. The two of them, President and Mrs., a far cry from George and Martha Washington. Not that anyone knows how to stimulate and trigger such a healthy restoration. The Republicans are saying that in 2022 they will take back the Congress, though they won't, I'm sure, unless they can guarantee that election won't be stolen, too. If I were active in the Republican Party in the states, I would pry to every state committee to start now recruiting volunteer poll watchers for every election district in the state, and preferably those with a carry permit.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, so much for the most worrisome American scene here in Israel. As noted, the Prime Minister has some 4 weeks to put together a coalition, which could happen in a flash if his rivals, his fellow nationalists of the right, could only surrender their ambition to the greater good. What adds to the annoyance that they don't is the reality that there are no significant philosophical issues that divide them. Not in regard to the Iranians, not in regard to the Arabs in Judea and Samaria. Tactically, there are differences, but not overarching ones. Bennett made himself a multimillionaire in business. Netanyahu started out in business, and as Minister of the Treasury, did an excellent job on economic issues. There's no difference between him and Bibi. None of them have any illusions about the enemy and the possibility for peace with the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, and the necessity of never surrendering the land, a demand made by world anti-Jewry. that would, of course, lead to our destruction, God forbid. I never cease to be amazed by anti-Jews who think the two-state solution is the solution to the hatred of Israel. The historical record is perfectly blank when it comes to Arabs here conducting their terrorist murders individually or in national armies attacking from the outside due to the absence of a state for any Palestinians. The homicidal hatred had absolutely nothing to do with the demand for a Palestinian state until the 1960s. Palestinian nationalism has never been anything but psychological warfare that official Israel has never chosen to go to war with. In part, the reason for that has been the defective vision of Israelis. When observing the enemy, Israelis see them as Arabs, but if that were so, they would not be demanding a Palestinian state because the Arabs have the weakest of national identities, commonly expressed in attachment to a specific country. Arabs, by definition, have no such attachment. They are nomads. They do not cultivate the land and establish sedentary societies. Today they are sedentary, but still with a less than normal developed national identity. What they do identify with is Islam, which has always been the true ideology that motivates them to action. Only the GSS and the police know the true number of times a terrorist has driven into a clutch of Israelis standing by the roadside, shouting, Allahu Akbar. Never have we heard any of them shouting, Long live Palestine, because their violence is religion-based. It's not national. Versus the Israeli media that routinely describes terrorist attacks as nationalistic. The police come upon the dead body of a Jew, God forbid, and want to determine whether it was a criminal act or a nationalistic one, they say. I doubt they have ever labeled an attack anti-Semitic in nature. Take, for example, last Friday's column in Maariv by Kalman Libeskind, whose column I regularly read. He's one of Israel's better journalists with a morning radio show on a major channel. He appears as well, I think, on channel TV's 20. He's a kippah sugugah-wearing national religious Israeli, well-informed, sober. And last Friday, he commented on the week's flirtation with attaching an Arab party for the first time to a government coalition after a speech by M.K. Mansour Abbas that many Israelis want to see as a glimmer of hope that the Arabs with citizenship are changing and becoming more of what we want them to be, concerned with the quality of their daily lives, and to forget about larger politics, forget about Palestinian nationalism, and stop their Israel bashing. Last week's swearing-in ceremony in the latest Knesset, four of them refused to recite the oath of allegiance to the state, versus Knesset member Mansour Abbas, who gave a speech that too many Israelis want to hear, which says nothing of his sincerity. For the first time, there were no recriminations about our alleged genocide or racism, only a desire for the betterment of Arabs and Jews in their common state. Libeskind wrote a thoughtful, balanced, and sober response entitled, Listen to Abbas. It's a new conversation that Israelis must consider with due respect, specifically Lieberman's national religious community, he had in mind. The only problem I had with the piece is trying continuously to see a new day dawning with the Arabs, and considers this speech a sign of that, was the absence of one word in its various forms. Islam. Muslim. Islamic. Not a whisper. It was all about the Arabs here with citizenship and not one word about the religious dimension of our relationship. It was my own discovery that the Israeli practice of calling the Arabs here Arabs departed from the habit of Jews over millennia who lived in Arab lands, who did not call their Arab neighbors Arabs. They called them, surprise, surprise, Goyim, just as my Polish and Russian forebears did. The Yemenis called them Joyim. My forebears called the Russians and Poles among them Gentiles, Goyim. The modern state of Israel is unique in Jewish history, where secular Israelis of Jewish extraction commonly do not use that term. Instead, they believe it is one of the reasons for anti-Semitism, calling non-Jews goyim, ooh, when all it connotes is non-member of the Jewish nation, as every nation in the world distinguishes between what the sociologist calls the in-group versus the out-group. Every nation has a concept of the goy, meaning any nation in the world except your own. But when the Jews mark themselves off With that word, they're seen as exclusivists, racists. They're taught to hate all non-Jews, you know. This accusation particularly is psychologically projective because it's the Muslims who are taught never to befriend a non-Muslim. This is in the Quran. So the founding fathers here, those of the modern state of Israel, especially the secular socialist left, would not use the word goy. Israelis call them Arabs, although even that misdescription overlooks the truth. What was wrong with Libeskind's otherwise intelligent thoughts was the complete absence of Islam as a factor in the relationship. What I do in my book is expose Palestinian nationalism to be a fraud that took the place of Hajime's glatt kosher Islamic Jew hatred, that's all. Fatah was formed by 8 men, all of them as boys, members in the youth organization of the Muslim Brotherhood, their version of the Boy Scouts, whose philosophy hates nationalism, and rightly so, as a competitor for a Muslim's identification with a large mass of people. Both patriotism and religion can produce oceanic feelings of being part of something much larger than oneself, and so the Brotherhood was born in 1928 in reaction to the collapse of the Ottoman Caliphate in World War I and the birth of the new Turkey under Ataturk and his westernizing crusade. The Brotherhood rose up against him because he was trying to create a new Turkish identity at the expense of the people's religious identity. The Western liberal value of a separation of church and state, in this case mosque and state, is beyond their ken. So in my book, I track the transition from Hajime's religious resistance to Zionism to the language of nationalism, but underneath, the religious foundation of their hostility is what counts and remains. In other words, Libeskind sees Arabs reconciling themselves to their second-class status, respectful of our independent Jewish state, in which they are a tolerated minority, when they are today and will be for the foreseeable future, at bottom, Muslims, who would have to become heretics to adopt a positive attitude toward us. The Quran is an anti-Semitic tract. Muhammad was nothing if not like a Bedouin tribal chieftain whose lifestyle lacks the most basic civilized law that Western children are taught early on, and that is don't steal. In Bedouin culture, there's no shame in stealing. It's not like Bedouin to become sedentary manufacturers of goods to sell them and acquire wealth that way. Wealth is not produced but stolen, with no civilized guilt for the crime. At some point, Israel is going to have to get tough in the South, where Israelis suffer endless burglaries and vandalism and protection artists from the Bedouin. The ancient Midrash ascribes theft to the sons of Ishmael as their essential flaw, besides having the spirit of an undomesticated jackass. Anyway, that's it for this week. Buy the Kindle version of my book, Phantom Nation, and receive a free 3-month subscription to my thrice-weekly programs. Buy the 2-volume hardcover box set version and receive a free 8-year subscription. This book is like no other on Israel and is described by many a book that is hard to put down. Okay, the music you heard was provided by Chilik Frank and Carmina Orr, and by Simply Tzfat, and the theme music by Carmina Orr and Chilik Frank. And we conclude, as usual, with Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Bentakoa. וקיימתנו כן תחיינו ותקיימנו ותאסוף גלויותינו לחצרות קודשך ולעשות רצונך ולעובדך בלבב שלם thank you.
ברכות והודעות לשמך הגדול הגדול והקדוש על שחייתנו וקיימתנו
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.